tragedy in all of Christianity is that there gradually crept in a teaching in the first century that salvation was not totally by grace, but that it also involved works. If you believe that, I have no argument with you, because many people believe that. In fact, I would say the bulk of those who call themselves Christians believe you can lose your salvation. And if you take certain scriptures in the Bible and don't correlate them with the rest of the Bible, I can understand why they believe that. But it simply isn't true. Many people think that there were two kinds of salvation, Old Testament and New Testament. That isn't true. In the Old Testament, God saved those whose hearts were right toward Him. And when they brought their sacrifice to the altar, they brought it because they believed God's promises that one day He would send a Messiah. That promise is as old as Genesis 3:15. And those who brought the sacrifice, wanting Messiah to come, were the ones whose hearts were right. And those who brought the sacrifice because they were forced to bring it, their hearts were never right toward God. From the very beginning in Genesis 3:15, it has always been by grace through faith in a promise that God made concerning a Messiah. Some people believe it's totally by works. Most believe it's a combination of grace and works. I am convinced from the depths of my soul, believe it with all my heart, that salvation is totally a matter of grace and was purchased by Jesus Christ. Now, we have a baptistry here. We baptize in it. But we don't believe that baptism saves anybody. And we believe if your heart is not right when you go into those baptismal waters, you're simply getting wet. It's not something that saves you. In the Old Testament, there was something called circumcision. You all know what circumcision is. You know it's still practiced to a large degree on many children. And you know that when circumcision occurs, a medical doctor cuts off part of their flesh, and you know where he cuts it off, and he separates it from that part of the body, and they throw it away. Now, the Old Testament wanted to have a testimony. And God wanted people to know that the nation of Israel had been set apart. They were set apart by circumcision. But just like baptism does not save you, neither did circumcision save them, because it was a work of the flesh. If their heart was right toward God, and they were bringing their sacrifices and had their faith in Messiah, God saved them. And then when they were circumcised, God accepted it. But circumcision was a setting apart of sin, setting apart forever by an act of the hands in circumcision of the child. It never saved anyone. Now, I'm going to talk about circumcision, and I'm going to talk about concision. Now, in the Bible times, if a person was circumcised, it was circumcised. But if a person just cut himself, brutally cut himself, as did the priests of Baal, and cut themselves to show their loyalty to God, it was called a concision. And Paul makes a difference. We are the circumcision. We who are saved are the circumcision. And Paul made a great difference, because concision means you just cut yourself brutally to show your love for God. And circumcision means you do it because you love God. Now, how did people know that Jews were God's set-apart people? Well, if you look down below their belt, you could see they were circumcised, and you could say, that's one of God's chosen people. Well, how do they tell today whether you're one of God's children? Well, you can't really tell for sure unless they've been baptized. Baptism doesn't save them, but it's a testimony to the world that They're God's children. And people see it. And they watch them go down under the water. Like the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It doesn't save them. But people say, well, now I know they're a child of God. Because they've come to the water wanting to please God, not to be saved, but because they are saved. And they please God. Now, the title of this is Escaped by Grace, Only to be Recaptured by the Law. One of the great tragedies today is that many people in many other churches get saved, legitimately saved, but immediately they're taught false doctrine, and they say, yes, Jesus died on the cross, but now you need to add to that, and you need to do this, or you'll lose your salvation. And they serve God in fear. God wants to be served because you love Him and because He saved you by grace. Not out of fear, not out of a horror of losing your salvation, but because He has saved you by His grace. And unfortunately, many people get saved. They're heaven bound. He won't take it back. But they are recaptured by the law. Now, in Philippians 3, 1 through 9, these words are written. He says, finally, my brethren, members of the church at Philippi, they had all been saved by grace. They had all been baptized by church authority, immersed. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. I know some people that say occasionally, oh, it preaches the same thing all the time, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Well, I say the same thing Paul said. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. I hope I preach it so much it becomes an ingrained part of your soul and of your thinking, because it comes from the Word of God. He says, beware of dogs. Those were the ones who had gone back under the law. Beware of evil workers. Those were the ones who had gone back under the law. They were the Judaizers. Beware of the concision. He said, beware of those who show you and say, we've been circumcised. He said, all they have done is to cut themselves, and it's a mutation. And yes, you can see it, but all they did was cut themselves. It's a mutation. It's not a circumcision. He said, for we are the circumcision. Well, what kind of a circumcision is it that we are? For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. It's a spiritual circumcision. So my question today is, have you been spiritually circumcised by Christ? And rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You can run through that baptismal water all you want. You can be circumcised as many times as you want. And it's all something that you did in your flesh. And I don't have any confidence in the flesh whatsoever, mine or anyone else's, except that of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul points out to these people, he said, you think that because... See, the Jews had come along and they were saying, and they were members of the churches at Galatia. They were saying, yes, we believe that Jesus died for your sins. We believe He's the Messiah. But unless you're circumcised, you're going to go to hell. And that's what they were telling people. And he said, look, he said, those people have just, he said, if you go and get circumcised, he said, you know, you might as well just mutilate yourself. He said, it's not a circumcision. He said, you don't need to be circumcised. Then he says, let me tell you about myself. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, Paul had been circumcised, and sisters and brothers, he had been circumcised correctly. If any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That means he spoke Hebrew. As touching the law, a Pharisee. He said, I kept the law of the Pharisees, but they had watered it down. He said, blameless, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness that are in the law, blameless. He said, I kept what the Pharisees kept, but it wasn't enough, because the Pharisees watered it down where you couldn't keep it. He says, now let me tell you something. He says, but what things were gained to me when I was doing all that? He said, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I want the knowledge that Jesus Christ is willing to impart to me spiritually through His Word. I want the knowledge of Christ that comes to me through a spiritually circumcised heart that makes me inside feel happy and joyous in the midst of turmoil and tribulation. Don't talk to me about baptism for salvation. Don't talk to me about circumcision. Don't talk to me about works. If you want to talk about salvation, you talk about one lone, single, solitary man and what he did for our sins. Then if you believe he did those things and you put your faith in him believing he's alive, then you can be baptized. But don't you dare go into water trying to be baptized to be saved. It just doesn't work. And do count them but dung, cow manure, that I may win Christ. He's talking about running a race. He's talking about winning the praise of Christ. He's talking about winning the joy of Christ. He's talking about Christ as a prize, someone he gets to know personally now that Christ has come to live in him. And he found and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. If you think you have your own righteousness, you're sadly mistaken. You don't have any righteousness unless you have the righteousness that Jesus Christ imputed to you when you repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus. And if you believe any less than that or try to add to it or take away from it, you don't any more know Jesus Christ than Moody's goose. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You know why I'm going to heaven? Well, Brother McElmurray, it's because you have a strong, abiding faith. You can forget that. I'm going to heaven because the only man who ever had the kind of faith naturally that pleased God was his son. And as he hung alone on Calvary, he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What kind of faith is that? You don't have it unless it's been imputed to you. It's a faith that still calls him my God, as he hung alone as a man and bore our sins on the cross. I'm going to heaven because my faith is totally and completely in the works and righteousness of that man and nothing else. And that way my salvation is sure, it's certain, and it's not based on anything I've ever done or ever could do. So what is this righteousness which of God by faith? Well, why did God give all that law? Why did he tell us and summarize it? Why did Jesus summarize all the law by saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself? Why did he summarize that? Because you can't do it. You'll never love anybody quite as much as you love yourself. Oh, you may have emotional feelings that you do, but you don't. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. You can't do it. But Jesus did. He's the only man who ever lived that kept every jot and tittle of the law. My faith is in what he did, not in what I have done, in what I am doing, or what I shall do. It taught me something. It brought me to Christ that we might be justified by faith. I was justified by faith through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under schoolmaster. I'm not under the law anymore. What does it mean I'm not under the law? It means that the reason that I now try to love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my mind and all my might and all my soul and my neighbor as myself is not because I believe I can do it. I can't. But I can try. And I know that living inside me there is someone who can, who does, and who will. And his name is Jesus. And he stays on me like a duck on a June bug every time I break some particular portion of the commandments of God. But I'm not under the law anymore. It's taught me the lesson. I'm finished. I've graduated. Now I know what a sinner I am, and every time I study the Bible, I become more of a sinner in my own eyes. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation is God's spiritual circumcision of the heart. Now, I want to be very practical here, and very straightforward. We're going to cover an account. We're going to cover an account after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. He's already been crucified. He's already resurrected from the dead. And the two men who are disciples of his are walking along the Emmaus Road. All of a sudden, he appears right there with them. And they say to him, they were talking about what had happened in Jerusalem. And they were talking about how Christ had been crucified. And he asked them a question. They said, well, don't you know about this? And then the Bible indicates that he began to talk to them. And he talked to them for a long time. And he asked him to come and eat with him. He went in. He ate with them. He talked to them for a long time. Talked to them about the scriptures. Talked to them about the Christ. Talked to them about everything that had to do with God. And all of a sudden, he vanished from their sight. Well, you know what? I've never seen him. But I don't have to see him, because I'm going to see him again. But what I'm telling you, after 31 years here, do you know I'm enjoying every minute of this? Do you know I'm getting great inner satisfaction and peace in telling you this? Do you know why? It's the Word of God. Brent, you know why you're here? It's because you like the Word of God. It's not because you particularly like all my habits, but it's because you like the Word of God. Jimmy, Charlie, that's why you're here. You'd have left here a long time ago, Kenneth, if it hadn't been for a love of the Word of God. What happens? The Word of God gets inside you. And you want to hear it. And you want to understand it. And once you're saved and Christ is living inside you, there's a burning in your heart to understand the Word of God. You say, well, I want to know for sure I'm saved. Well, if you love the Word of God and you love to understand it and you love what it says, what you love is Jesus. And at some point in time in life, you've had an experience. It may not have been dramatic. You may not think very much of it. But at some point in your life, you came face to face with a realization that you needed a Savior. That you needed somebody besides yourself. And you came to Him. And once you came to Him, you like to hear the Word of God. You don't like for it to cut your heart. But after it's cut your heart, you're glad it did. Because it makes you understand a little bit more about how gracious and loving God is. And it came to pass as He sat at meat with them. These are the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. They saw Him. He vanished out of their sight. They'd been talking for a long time about the Scriptures, about the Messiah. Then they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us, by the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures? Charlie, let me tell you why you keep coming down here. You keep coming down here because you like the Word of God. It does something inside to you. That's why you're here this morning. The Word of God does something inside you. It's something that you want to hear. It's something that draws you. It has power. And the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Now listen to what Jesus said. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It was the Spirit that made you alive the moment that you trusted in Jesus. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh did not save you. The flesh does not keep you saved. The flesh is there to be controlled by the flesh after you're saved. And it never has done you any good whatsoever. Now notice what He says about this quickening. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Look at what they said. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? And while He opened to us the Scriptures? I'm standing up here preaching this to you. What's going on inside me? What's going on inside me is the awareness that it's true. And the awareness that the Scriptures are my whole source of life after I'm saved. And the Scriptures are something like Jesus actually speaking to me through the Scriptures. And they're real. And they're genuine. And that's why I put them on a screen. Because that's what you like. And you wouldn't like it if Jesus wasn't in you. Now think about before you were saved. You didn't like to hear it all that much, did you? Remember when you were growing up as a child? Remember when you first started being convicted? You didn't like it for zip, did you? You tried to stay away from it. Tried to run away from it, didn't you? So did I. So do all of us. But let me tell you something. Once you submit to it, and once that Spirit comes to live in you, and you believe that Word, what? You love it. And you want to hear more of it. And you realize that the source of strength is in Christ. And those words that you heard were what saved you. And that Spirit is what makes your heart burn when you hear the Word. Romans 2, 28-29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision. God didn't consider Jews Jews just because they were circumcised. He didn't consider what he saw on the outside below the waist. He saw what they did in life, and he knew in their heart why they brought the sacrifices, why they brought the offering, why they came to the temple. He knew the reason. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Neither is somebody that walked into those baptismal waters believing it would save them. If they went into those baptismal waters believing that would save them, they're no more a Christian than Moody's goose. If they got saved before they went into that water, then they're genuine, because it was an inward circumcision of their heart by the hand of God. God does spiritual circumcision of the heart the moment you put your faith in Jesus. But he is a Jew, which is one outwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I don't want the praise of men. I don't want men that say, well, I'll tell you what, Brother Michael Murray, you've told me what I need to do, and now I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give so much, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, no, no. I don't want the praise of men. I praise God, because God is the one who circumcised my heart, and God is the one who sent his Son, and the Holy Spirit is the one who convicted me, and he's the reason I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. He's the one that gives me the life by which I come here enjoying every minute of it. Being among you who know the same Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit of God that I know. If your heart doesn't burn within it in you, it's not God's fault. Luke 24:32-36. Now notice what they said. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and when he opened to us the Scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now notice, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. You can't have any peace in this life without Jesus. And all of a sudden, when you get saved, he appears in your heart, and your life is never quite the same. You don't understand it. When it happens, it's like the wind that comes and goes. You don't know how far it goes or where it stops. And that's the way being born again is. All of a sudden, he's in you. And you knew you didn't put him there, because things are different. You like God's Word then. You begin to enjoy it more. Things begin to happen. You didn't do anything except repent of your sins and trust Jesus, and he did all the rest. And he's the reason you're here this morning. He's the reason that I'm here this morning. You can't have any peace without him. Once you get to know him, if you try to break away from him, you don't have any peace. You're miserable. Now, 1 John 3:2. All of a sudden, he was right there in the midst of them. You know what? For too much longer, he's going to be standing in the midst of us. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all of a sudden, we're going to get seen in the twinkling of an eye. Heart circumcision is God's spiritual workmanship. Now, I didn't understand this till long after I was saved. But I love God's Word. And because I love it, I wanted to know more about it. God's spiritual circumcision of the heart. Ephesians 2:10. Well, let's talk about the two verses before it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, now, if it's by grace through faith, who did it? Verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, for we are his workmanship. Well, who is God? The Bible says God is a spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit do the moment you repented of your sins and trusted Jesus? He created you in Christ Jesus unto good works. He put you in Christ, and he put Christ in you, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. You can't do good works unless you've been born again. God won't accept them. I don't care how hard you try. I don't care if you go to darkest Africa and spend your whole life living among all sorts of diseases because you love human mankind, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if Christ isn't in you, those works are not accepted by God. God accepts my works because it's Christ in me that performs them. And anything that I perform that is not in God's will, God doesn't accept that either. But as Christ leads me in this book, I believe. Now let's just take a look at this spiritual circumcision, because I think it's something we all ought to understand. And I didn't understand it until I'd been in the ministry for about maybe 8-9 years. Colossians 2:11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. This isn't a medical doctor. This is the chief physician. This is the great spiritual I am. God circumcised you, and He circumcised your heart. He circumcised it the moment you put your faith in His Son, repenting of your sins. Well, what is circumcision? Well, doctor performs it physically. He cuts off part of a male, and he takes it, and he throws it over in a trash can. And then the male is left there, and he's been separated from that forever. It's a physical separation. God performs a spiritual circumcision of the heart, in whom also your circumcision with a circumcision made without hands. God's hands make it spiritual. What does it do? In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When I got spiritually circumcised, God took a part of me. He separated it from the other. Christ came to live in me. He sealed Himself to my soul and forever separated me from this body of sin and flesh I live in that is envious, jealous, sometimes hateful, spiteful. All the things the flesh was from the day it came out of my mother's womb. I'm responsible to God for trying to control it. And Jesus living in me works on my soul constantly to fight against the flesh. But if I told you that there wasn't sin in my flesh, I'd be a liar. There is. The body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I've been set apart from the sinful flesh. He can contact me. He can try to get me to sin. But I've got a Savior living inside me, and so do you. And that's why you love the Word. The flesh hates it. He doesn't want to come down here. He doesn't want you down here. He hates to hear it. But your soul loves it because Christ is interwoven with your soul. Psalm 103:12. Well, how far did God remove me from the sin of the flesh? Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God's grace is so amazing that most people can't understand it. I confess, even after I was saved, I didn't understand it for about 7 or 8 years. Here's what I finally came to understand. It's almost unbelievable. How can anybody love me that much? For as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities, plural, are forgiven, and whose sins, plural, are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We were not justified by keeping the law to be saved by our works. Neither is our justification maintained by doing the works of the law after we are saved by grace through faith. The believer is saved by God's grace and kept by God's grace. If, after the believer has been saved by grace, he or she believes they can commit a sin that will return them under the condemnation, they are saying the blood of Christ was not enough and therefore make him a minister of sin and not of grace. Galatians 2:16 through 21. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ on the cross, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I can promise you this. Whether you're here this morning because you want to worship God, or because you love God, or because you feel guilty, or because everything in your life just seems to be a terrible mess, I guarantee you this. If you know Christ, It was His Spirit living in you that brought you here. You may think you willed it, but once He comes to live inside you, there's something that can only be satisfied by the Word of God. I know that to be an absolute fact, both from the Word of God and by experience. You need a Savior? Jesus alone saves. You need a walking companion to always be with you? Jesus is a walking companion. You want something that will give you peace and satisfaction and joy? You've just seen the Word of God. And your heart burns. And maybe this morning you've learned something you never knew before. And maybe it's love you makes you love God more. I tell you what makes you love God more. When you discover He's a lot more gracious than you ever thought. If you need a Savior, you come this morning trusting Jesus. None of us can stop you from being saved. And the devil is the only one who doesn't want you to come. If you already know Christ, and you want to show the world that you believe in Christ and that you are saved, then you come to be baptized so that people can see you've been separated because you've done what God asked you to do as a commandment after you were saved. Whatever God's laid on your heart, you come and let God take care of all the rest. You say, you mean just trust God? That's what the Bible is, trusting God. As the song leader comes, as the pianist comes, as the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is between you and God.